Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
The title of the message is A Good Father. You know, there's a song that we sing and it's and the chorus says, "You're a good, good father. That's who you are." I love that song, by the way. But, you know, I know that some people, as they listen to the words of that song, they actually don't relate to that. That song is obviously talking about our Heavenly Father. But some people just think, you know what, I don't even know what it is to have a good father. And I'm really aware that on Father's Day, every single year, there are people who are filled with mixed emotions about Father's Day. They would love to celebrate it, but for some people, you know, Father's Day is filled with beautiful memories and just happy thoughts about your dad. And for some other people, it just brings up a world of pain and just thoughts that you would rather forget. And I'm fully aware of that today. But you know, isn't it amazing whether you had a great role model as a father or a terrible one? You know, it's amazing how we tend to act like our parents as we get older. Have you noticed that about yourself? You start to talk like your parents. Things that you used to laugh at your parents in the way they spoke, the things that they did, the way they behaved. Now, as you are getting older, you find yourself making a statement and you go, "Hang on a minute, my dad used to say that, or my mum used to say that." And it's amazing the effects that our parents have on us. And why is that? Why is that? It's because we saw them say that or do that thing over and over again. And it starts to become ingrained in who we are. And even though we try and push it aside sometimes, we find ourselves speaking the same way. And for a lot of us, we actually look like our parents, and more so as we get older. And you know, even though you promised yourself that you would not do what your parents did to you and that you would not argue about the things that your parents argued with you about and made a fuss about, now that you are a parent and now that you are a father, you find yourself saying the same things and talking about the same things. And you know, I know for myself, I used to ask my dad sometimes for some money. And I would say, "Hey, Dad, you know, can I have $40? My dad would say, "$40? I don't have $30. Where am I supposed to get $20 from? Here, take $10 and give half to your brother." And I used to be so annoyed when he used to do that. But you know what? The other day, my son asked me for some money and I said, "$40, where am I supposed to get $20 from?" And I did the exact same thing and I thought, wow, it's amazing how we try as much as we can to not do what we saw, but we tend to do those things. Now, of course, we do have the power in Jesus' name to reverse a lot of those things that are destructive and bad habits and ways of speaking that didn't help us when we were growing up. But there's a lot of those things that come flowing through. Why is that? Because friends, the greatest thing that you will see take place in your children's lives and what you will see them do is what they saw you do. And so today's message, I just want to talk to us just for a moment, if I can, about what it means to be a good father. Now, just some disclaimers. If you are a single mum and you're raising some children right now and you're thinking, "Well, so how does this message apply to me?" Hey, listen, let me tell you right now, we serve a supernatural God who is able to impart to single mothers some of these traits. There's no doubt about it. But can I just really encourage you? In our church, we've got a lot of single mums, and I've got to tell you, some of these mums have absolutely blown my mind. Why? Because what they've done is positioned their children to be loved by other fathers. And they've surrounded themselves with young men who can be like an older brother to their young children. And I know that in our church, there are many of these single mums that have personally asked me, "Pastor Richard, could you just, I give you, you know, all the rights and authority to just speak into my children's lives," and they've done that for other dads. And I've got to tell you, those young kids today have grown up and they are the most settled, wholehearted young people that I've honestly, I think I've ever seen. So just because you're a single mum out there, this doesn't exclude you from hearing everything that I've got to say today, because God is involved in this whole process. Come on, someone needs to say amen. Well, come on. What do we need to do if we want to be a good father? So guys, listen up. What's the number one thing And this, I am starting with number one, as in this is the highest priority. What's the number one thing you can do to really make sure that you're being a great father? Well, for me, it would be love their mum. Really love their mum. In other words, love your wife if that's who she is. If you're still married, of course, that would be wonderful. If not, I think you can still love their mum. And let me tell you why this is so important. Because you're building and creating a pattern of what can be expected. Hey, dads, when you love their mum, you're showing that young man, this is how you should be treating your wife one day. And you will start to see your children do things that you yourself did for your own wife. And you're either gonna be so proud of them or you're gonna be so discouraged because you weren't the example that you wanted to be. But you know, dad, when you start to love their mum, it says to your daughter, that's how someone ought to treat me one day. And you will put a spirit into your daughters that when someone doesn't treat them the way they ought to treat them, they will be repelled by someone who doesn't show them value, someone who doesn't show them some respect. And it all happens by the way you love their mum. Come on, someone needs to get excited about that. Love your spouse. I have tried with all my heart to really show my kids how to value the opposite sex. And I really think that I've seen it now. I've got two children that are married and one who is on his way, I would hope. But let me encourage you. As you begin to do this, you will see such a significant ways of behavior that you're going to be really, really proud of. You know, can I just give you just a couple of tips here? Let your kids see you being really affectionate with their mum. You know, I sometimes I'll hear one of my children walking down the corridor and you know what, on purpose, I will hug their mum right at that moment. Now, it's not being fake. I just want them to know that I love her and I want them to know that I cherish her. And sometimes I walk around the corner and they'll see us hugging and they'll, oh, get a room, or they'll, yuck, stop it. But deep down inside, I know they love it. They love it because it brings a stability into their life. You know, sometimes we'll be sitting on the couch and I'll just be sitting there with my wife. Many of you know her, Helen, and I'll just call out across the room, hey guys, just got to tell you that I'd marry this girl again. And they'll all go, Dad, be quiet. But deep down inside, they love it. Why? Because I need to take away the thought that mum and dad are in trouble. And it's such a powerful thing. You know, Helen and I, we went to New York with our kids, and we were in this Airbnb, and I remember that in the shower of this particular Airbnb, there were some tiles that were angled, and as the water was coming down, the water was going down the wall and basically through the wall. Now, I'm wondering to myself, now remember, I'm like, you know, three or four levels up. I'm thinking, where is this water going? It must be going somewhere. And I remember thinking, I wonder if the whole floor is going to give out at some point in time. I was stressed the whole time I was actually in that shower, thinking that the foundation is going to fall out from underneath me. Do you know, that's one thing I don't want to do for my kids. I don't want them to be thinking, is my foundation about to be taken out from underneath me? Are my mum and dad going to last? And one of the ways to stop your kids from thinking like that is to show them that you actually love each other. Come on, someone needs to get excited right about now. You know, we need, dads, we need our partner to help us in raising these kids. You know, it wasn't too long ago that Helen and I were just watching a film and my son came home and you know, I didn't really notice what he did next. And then, you know, very soon Helen said to me, you know, when your son comes out from the, he was having a shower at the time, she said, you know, you may want to talk to him. And I said, why? And she said, oh, because, you know, I thought something may have been wrong because, you know, he walked in and went straight to the shower. And I said, so? She's like, oh, no, I just got the feeling that something was wrong. And lo and behold, something was wrong that he really wanted to talk about. And I thought to myself, where would I be without this woman? I'm so glad that we are connected. But guys, mums have got an antenna. And we need to tap into that so that we can be the best dads that we can be. Amen? So come on, we need to really tap into loving their mum. It's going to make a huge difference to be a great dad. Friends, I've talked to you guys often about the different stages of parenting, and I'm going to go into that today because I think it's so important. If we're going to be great dads, we need to understand the different stages of parenting. Do you know, in Proverbs 27, verse 23, it says this. It says, "Know well the condition of your flocks and pay attention to your herds." Now, that's talking about sheep, but I think it's saying to me, I need to know where my kids are at. It is my job to know through the power of God and through speaking to them, talking to my wife, talking to their friends. But it's great for us to know where our kids are at. Now, you've heard me say this before, and I think it's probably going to come up on your screen, that from the ages of 0 to 2, we would call this the carer. You need to be the carer. This is all about touch. And this is what your kids need from you the most at this point in time. We call it meaningful touch. Now, listen, let me really be clear about something. You know, as your children grow up, you need to remember something. Deep down inside, although their bodies get bigger, and as young men, they grow hair on their bodies and ladies start to develop. Hey, listen, you need to remember something. As your children get older and older, on the inside, they still remain a 3 to 5 year old. Yep. Everything that your 3 to 5 year old would love you to do and the things that they would love you to say and the way in which they would love you to behave with them, friends, even as they turn 33, on the inside, they are still that 3 to 5 year old. Now, I'm not saying that they're stunted emotionally. All I'm saying is, as human beings, at our very core, all those things that we want as a young person, we still want them as an adult, but we want it done differently, but we still want the same things. Now, as a young person, you know, you want touch. And let me encourage you to continually be giving meaningful touches to your kids. In other words, be affectionate with them. It's so important. You know, Jesus, the Bible tells us in Matthew 19, it says that then little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and to pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. So here's the disciples. No, Jesus is too important for that. Get all the kids away. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Did you see that? Jesus was happily just placing his hands on these kids, but everybody wanted it to stop. But Jesus said, no, it's so important. Can I give you this huge encouragement? Dads, don't stop hugging your kids. Even this morning, I walked past my son in the corridor. The kid's 23 years old. I stopped him in the corridor, gave him a hug. And you know what? He willingly received it. Friends, it's so important. We need that touch as human beings. I'm going to go one step further. I'm European, and I know I'm speaking to a whole lot of other Europeans, but even if you're not, you know what? I even kiss the kid. I still kiss him on his cheek. I kiss my daughters. Kissing is, we do that to a 3 to 5 year old. Now, I know it can be awkward. I'm not kissing him in front of people, and I'm not, you know, making it awkward or embarrassing, but you know what? A gentle hug, a kiss on the cheek, "I love you, son," it means the world to them. Now, they won't tell you that. You'll never get a child saying, "Dad, give me a hug and a kiss." They just won't tell you that. But force it upon them in a good way, right? Don't embarrass them, but it's so important. You know, I still jump onto my kids' beds. You know, I'll be up first thing in the morning and they'll still be sleeping. I go into their bedroom, I jump. They love it. Deep down inside, they love it. And can I encourage you? Come on, let's not become all professional and start moving away from the things that our kids really, really crave and desire. Can I go deeper with just that point? Friends, speak a blessing over them. You know, a 3 to 5 year old wants to hear good things. They want to hear that they're going to be amazing. They want to hear that they're going to take on the world. You're going to become an astronaut, whatever it is. Friends, you will be surprised how much your kids hold onto the words that you speak over them. You know, I feel a little bit bad about this point. My daughter, Sarah, who in her own words would say to you that she wasn't an academic, although these days she's flying in the in that environment. She's become a coach and she's doing so well. But I remember, you know, she wasn't doing too well in school, and I was trying to motivate her, and I sort of did it the wrong way. And I said to her, you know, if you don't start studying and doing what you need to do. Now, please, I'm not saying this to be derogatory to anyone else's profession, but I know that she didn't want to work at Coles and she didn't want to be a checkout chick, as we call them. And so I sort of, you know, to motivate her, I started making the sound, boop, boop, boop. And she's like, what are you doing that for, Dad? And I'm like, well, that's what you're going to be doing if you don't start studying. Now, I thought I was doing the right thing, but many years later, she actually told me that those words were almost like a prophecy over her life. And it really went deep that she thought, that's what my dad thinks I'm going to be, is a checkout chick. And she just was believing for more for her life. And, you know, one day she told me that and I needed to really apologize to her and say, I'm so sorry. I was trying to motivate you, but I may have done it the wrong way. And I should have just said to you like, hey, you're going to achieve your dreams. Come on, you've got a big future. And I should have used other words. And I really shouldn't have spoken those words over her life. Hey, listen, let's speak blessing into our kids. That's what Abraham did with Isaac. He blessed him. And then you remember Isaac, he blessed his son. Even though he blessed the wrong son, wait for it, he wasn't able to undo the blessing. So Esau comes along and says, hey, that was supposed to be my blessing. And his dad goes, I'm so sorry, son, the blessing's already gone out. That's how powerful blessings are. They can't be taken back. So come on, let's bless our kids and tell them they're going to be wonderful parents. Tell them they're going to prosper. Tell them they're going to start businesses. Tell them they're going to be world leaders, CEOs, whatever it is that they're dreaming about being. Why don't we just tell them that? You know, psychologists would tell us that for every comment, negative comment that our children hear, that there needs to be 5 positive comments to help move them forward. Now, I'm not saying that we, you know, move away from discipline because we're going to talk about that in a moment, but we do need to be careful that we are constantly pushing them forward with our words and not pushing them down. Amen? So then there's the ages between 3 to 12, and we call this stage the commander stage. Now, at this point in time, the most important thing during this age is discipleship, training. We're going to teach our kids something. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. Did you see that? They will not leave that path, but first you have to direct your children onto that path. You know, we're living in a generation where people just go, you know, I'm just going to let my kids just sort of sort it out for themselves. You know, I'm going to just let it be, I'm going to let their lives be like a garden, and I'm just going to let it grow the way it likes. Well, I don't know about you, but if I let my garden just do whatever it likes, all it produces is thistles and thorns and things grow out of place and it looks absolutely terrible. No, we need to help tend that garden and we need to point them into the right direction. And of course, they will go wherever they want to go in the end, but we've got to help them. We've got to train them with some disciplines that will help them become the people they want to be. Proverbs 13:24 goes a bit deeper and it says, those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. Did you get that? No discipline. The Bible is saying you actually hate your kids. Those who love their children care enough to discipline them. Now, this is where some preachers right now would be talking about, you know, smacking or no smacking or whatever it may be. Listen, I don't even want to go there with you today. All I want to say is this. You better find a way. I better find a way to teach my kids that there are consequences to disobedience, there are consequences to breaking the law, there are consequences for just doing whatever you like. If we don't teach them that there are consequences somehow, if you don't work out how you're going to discipline your kids, let me assure you, the government will do it for you one day. Our kids will not get away from breaking the law. They will receive the consequences of breaking the speed limit. I would rather my kids learn those consequences in my own home as young children so that as they grow up, they become law-abiding citizens that know how to respect authority, that have a touch of fear of doing the wrong thing, okay, because they understand that when they were young, they did the wrong thing, they didn't obey, there were consequences there. And we need to help our kids in that process, guys. Don't just let them do whatever they like. No, we need to discipline them. That's what a good father does, amen. Can I really encourage every dad right here and now? Hey, I'm just trying to be practical today. I just want to be practical with you to say, you know, for some of us, we grew up with dads and we never heard them use the word sorry. And we know, you know as well as I do, your dad, my dad, they did things that they really should have been sorry for. They didn't always get it right. But yet for some of us, we never actually heard our dads use the words, I am sorry. And therefore we grow up as young men and we don't know how to say I'm sorry. And then it gets us into trouble with our wives, but ultimately it could get you into trouble with your children because your children know that you actually did the wrong thing. And what you teach them to become are children who are not humble. And we want children who are humble, who understand that sometimes they get it wrong and it's okay to just simply say, I'm sorry. Hey, listen, it doesn't cost you anything to say, I'm sorry. If you've been a bad example somehow, somewhere, you've said the wrong things, to apologize to your kids is one of the most powerful things you will ever do. In actual fact, it will lead them to the place where one day they will want to say sorry to God for the way in which they have lived. And they will come into a relationship with Jesus because we've taught them to say sorry. Everyone knows that when the head of the home is able to say sorry, everyone is then able to say that they are sorry. And that's what they're the sort of families that we want to raise up. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way in which you treat them. You want to make your kids angry? Then just be someone who never says, I'm sorry. No, that'll just make them angry. But as soon as we say, I'm sorry, it's amazing how their anger just simply dissipates. It says, rather, bring them up in with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Amen? So come on, let's be committed to this. You know, ages 13 to 18 is the counselor stage. And friends, this is the stage where it's all about friendship. So we've gone from carer, and then we've gone to commander, and now we're entering into the counselor stage. We're friends now. Jesus said this with his disciples in chapter 15, verse 15. He says, I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. He says, now you are my friends since I have told you everything that the Father has told me. What's Jesus saying here? Hey guys, you've been with me for 3.5 years now. And yes, I was commanding you. And originally I was caring, then I was commanding. He says, but now you're my friends. And he's treating them as adults in the faith. And you know, there comes a time when you've got to treat your kids like adults. And we need to stop babying them and stop commanding them. And this is a really important part of the process because some parents stay in the commander stage. But your children are growing up and what they're needing from you is to go into the counselor stage. They want to be your friend now, but you've still got them in the commander stage and it makes them really angry to the point where they don't want to talk to you. But we need our kids to talk to us, which actually leads me to this next point, which is so important. Friends, have the talk with your kids. And what's the talk? This is the talk. Sit down with your children at this stage and say, hey, listen, I really need you to talk to me because the enemy wants to drive us apart. Your friendship groups, in some cases, will tell you, hey, don't tell your parents. Don't talk to your parents about anything because I'll never get you. No. I remember I was talking to my son. We were on our way to church one day and I said, you know, son, the enemy doesn't want you or me to be close. He actually wants to tell you that you can't trust me, that you can't talk to me, so that he can take you into a really dark place. I said, son, don't allow the devil to do that. Don't allow him to separate us. Why don't you just keep talking to me, keep telling me anything that you need to, and I promise, and here it is, I promise I'll never freak out. I promise I will never go, what? But I'll just hear you out. And you know what was amazing? He sat quietly for a moment, and then he started telling me some things that had happened just even recently because he had a sleepover and some of the other kids were watching some stuff they shouldn't have been watching. And he didn't like what they were doing, but he felt bad that he was even there. And the minute I said to him, son, don't let the enemy pull us apart, he began to tell me about that and he felt fantastic. You know what? That changed our relationship. From that moment on, he's just always been open with me, knowing that I'm not going to freak out, but that I'm going to walk that journey with him. Hey, listen, when was the last time you sat with your kids and just simply said, hey, listen, come on, let's stay together. Let's stay close. You don't need to hide from me. You'd be shocked what kids feel like that they can share and what they can't share. Proverbs 18:1, it tells us what happens to someone who isolates themselves. It says, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire and he rages against all wise judgment. The enemy would love to isolate our kids so that they just begin to do their own thing and find themselves in very, very deep trouble. You know, we see it in the animal kingdom. When a lion is trying to chase down a deer, that he'll try and get one of the young ones to be isolated and then they can pounce on it, get it away from the herd. And that's what the enemy would love to do. Hey, listen, talk to your kids. Have the conversation with them and you will find that they will open up and they will feel safe with you because you want to stay connected to them. Amen? And then we get to the 18 to 28 and now you become the coach. And you just basically, hey, this is what I would be doing, but it's up to you. And then we end up at the consultant stage where you basically just drop in and they pay for everything like a true consultant, okay? So they're the different stages. Now listen, the important part in all of this, friends, is you've got to keep changing gears. Dads, you've got to keep changing gears. You can't obviously stay as a carer when you should be a commander. Okay, but you can't stay as a commander when you're then supposed to be moving on to that next level. And a lot of parents are still caught in the commander stage. And if you don't change gears, it'll really frustrate your children. But listen, can I also reverse that? Some of you are desperately trying to be the counselor, which is the friend, when you're actually in commander stage. And you're like, I just want to be friends with my children. Hey, listen, right now they need you to command them. They need you to discipline them. But you're very busy being a friend. And then what happens is when you are at the counseling stage and life is out of control, then you start trying to become a commander then, but it's too late. No, you have to go through the different gears. Just like a car, friends, you can't go from first to fourth. No, you've got to go from first to second to third. And we've got to keep changing gears if we want our kids to go on a journey with us. Remember, today we're talking about being a good father. And there's a whole lot of stuff here, friends, that we need to just walk through this process and your kids will thank you for it. But listen, last but not least, dads, can I encourage you, enjoy your children. My kids are 27 and 26 and 23 and they're big now. And you know, there's a part of me that just, I just so wish that I just could have been there a little bit more for them when they were younger. I know that for some of you, you're very, very busy, but can I encourage you, enjoy your children. You know, the Bible says, Psalm 127 verse 3, it says, behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Hey, listen, those kids are a gift from God. They're not an inconvenience. They're not just something that you have to feed, right? They're your children. They're there to be loved. And for some of us, it's like, oh, look, as long as it's quality, I might not be able to give them quantity. Hey, listen, let me tell you, the times with my children that have been the most quality was because I was giving them the quantity. The quality came because I was there. There was lots of times when I was just there. And they're the moments. So your kids won't hold back the important conversations for when you've got time for them. No, no. Those conversations just happen whenever, and you've got to be there when they happen. Now, I know we've got to work and I know we've got to do a whole lot of things, but dads, can I just encourage you, be there for your kids. Be there for them, because you will find yourself having those beautiful moments as you are just around a lot to really enjoy them. And last but not least, I would say this, guys, in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 11, it says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. You know, that verse says to me, hey, listen, we need God's strength to do this. And for some of us, we're fighting the example that we have seen when we were younger. But I want to encourage you. You know, God can create an example through you that you never had. And he can do it through his power. He can do it through his strength. He can help you to become the dad that you are longing to be. Come on, someone needs to say amen. He can do this, but we need to pray and ask him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. He'll make your path straight. In other words, God, please help me to be the dad that I need to be. Friends, Today we're talking about being a good father, but you know, the ultimate example of a good father is our Heavenly Father. We all know that. And for a lot of us, we just don't even understand how good He is because we never had it ourselves. But I'm wondering today whether you would just open up your heart once again and just say, God, I hear You're a good father. Can You come and just show me how to be that dad? I want to be more like You. And what is it that we want from Him? He's a God of love. He's a God of forgiveness. He's a God of hope. And I would just love you to experience that love from that Father. So right now, friends, wherever you're at, would you just bow your heads and let me pray for you. Father, I thank You for every person that is watching. Father, I thank You that we all want to be better parents. We want to be better fathers. And Father God, right now, I just pray that You would show us how to be parents like You are to us. You're just so full of love and so full of kindness. And bless us, God, as we let this word dive deep into our hearts. In Jesus' name, everybody said, Amen.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabacki and pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need You in my life. I choose You as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with You that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.